Welcome to Is This Real Life? A Bravo podcast that relates our favorite shows to our own lives and the world around us. I'm your host, Mandy Slutsker. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. I hope you had a good week. Wishing a happy Passover to those who celebrate. I know this world feels like a dumpster fire, and there's just a lot of hate everywhere, and I've been feeling it a lot more this past week or so, and just hoping that we can take the next hour to enjoy our favorite shows and laugh, and I don't know, bring a little levity. I think this is the first week in a while that there hasn't been a Real Housewives franchise on. I'm not even sure since I started this podcast that there has been a lull in the Housewives. But luckily, Summer House, Summer House Martha's Vineyard, Vanderpump Rules, and The Valley are firing on all cylinders. I absolutely love these shows, and I'm so excited to get into them in more depth today. If you want to hear even more of my takes on Vanderpump Rules and The Valley, go ahead and listen to the Pink Shade podcast from this past Wednesday, because I was on with Mary Payne talking all things Vanderpump and The Valley. One thing Mary Payne schooled me on was product placement, and she was mentioning a number of things that were product placements throughout these shows. And then this week, we have an entire scene filmed in an Old Navy. So I am getting a little bit more with it and not so naive that they just happen to be at an Old Navy. I don't know. I feel like I'm so naive about some of these things and how they work. It's very interesting which products get placed. And if any of you work in marketing and do these kinds of deals with brands, I'm so interested in learning more about it. It is absolutely fascinating to me. My guest this week is Kelly Williams from the Behind the Blinds podcast. She's also Laguna Biatch on Instagram. She is so fun. We laugh so much. We always seem to have different takes about these shows, but I love that because, again, my favorite thing about these shows is how we're all watching them, yet we can have different opinions and we see and pick up on different things, especially based on our life experience. And I know this week a lot of people saw different things in Carl and had different takes on what's going on with that. So we get to unpack that a bit, which I appreciate having the time to do with Kelly. So this is the part in the podcast where I tell you all if you enjoy the show to give it a 5-star rating and leave a kind review, emphasis on kind. Lately, I feel like people who are a little less kind have been more interested in leaving reviews of the podcast. So if you are so inclined, I would appreciate a kind one. And for those who have really mean things to say and refuse to reach out to me at Mandy Slutsker on Instagram, I hope that leaving a mean review made your day just a little bit better. All right, away with the negativity. I hope you guys really enjoy this conversation. We'll take a quick break and then back with Kelly.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, Hi, everyone. I'm here with Kelly Williams, who you all know as Laguna Biatch on social media, and she's co-host of the very popular podcast Beyond the Blinds. How are you doing, Kelly?
I'm good. I'm so excited to chat Bravo with you.
Me too. But actually, I just realized, before we get into Bravo, you are a huge Swiftie, right?
Yes.
What is your take on the tortured poets department?
I'm having trouble with it. We talked about it last week on Beyond the Blinds. Okay. I will say that this is just like, it's a little too slow for me. And I think it's a little too much Jack Antonoff for me.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. I like her slower stuff.
I usually do too. Like, I love her heartbreaking songs, and there are definitely some good ones, but I think there's so much to sift through that it's almost like I have to work really hard to find the ones I like, which is new when it comes to Taylor Swift.
Right. So I had a long drive last weekend, like 2 hours, and I just listened to the whole thing, and I was able to figure out the ones that like stood out to me that I enjoyed, but it's not necessarily the ones everyone else likes.
Yeah, I really like The Black Dog. I'll say out of the whole album, that's kind of the one song that has really, really stuck out to me.
And I love But Daddy, I Love Him. That's like my favorite, I think, on the album, because I like that she's yelling at everyone.
See, I have an issue with that just because like she starts kind of being like the fans care about it too much, you know, like, and I'm kind of like, girl, sorry we didn't want you dating someone who's a racist, fatphobic, anti-Semitic person. You can't blame us. And I wish that she could be like, you made my brand not good. Because Taylor Swift's known for being good. And to me, I'm just kind of like, girl, no. You're not going to like blame us for being upset that you're dating someone who said terrible things.
So I know nothing about this man. Like, I don't know anything. I don't know. I know he's a musician. I know he has tattoos and acts like a golden retriever to her. But I don't know anything other than I think she's also just talking about just everyone having opinions on her life and not giving her a chance to just live it. And then I love how it ends where people are happy with where she is. And she's like, oh, no, but now that you're happy, that doesn't mean I'm going to let you in.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I also take things very personally. I'm a Cancer, so.
Okay. That does make sense. I'm a Taurus. I don't take many things personally. Because I'm just like listening. I'm like, oh, yeah, she's got a point. Like, it's her brand. It's her name. She can make her choices, even if they're bad, you know.
I know. See, I hear that. And I'm like, just say, like Vanderpump almost, just say you're filming a show. It's like, just say that this man made your brand look not good. And that's why you're so upset.
That's sort of, I guess I always forget about the brand part of it, but that's sort of what I was taking. Like, she was pissed that everyone was framing her a certain way. And maybe she just likes to be in control of how everything is framed, which is very relatable, I think. Yeah. And I like that one. I like the albatross.
That was a good one. Yeah. I like that one.
And I like, of course, the alchemy.
That's growing on me.
I love the chorus. The part in between, I don't know all the names of song stuff. I'm not a musically inclined person. But I love the references to football, which I'm a huge fan of and always have been. And it's just nice to see her like return to the football field, where I feel like she started a lot of her career being like, oh, I'm on the bleachers and, you know, all that stuff. And then it's like, no, I'm on the field and I'm making out with like the star of the team. That was fun.
I agree. I agree with you.
But I realize there's a lot about her I don't know.
I'll say, like, I have had to hang my Swiftie card, I think, just because of, like, how Swifties are on social media, where it's like you can't even criticize an album, even though you've been a fan since you were 15. And it's like you say, you know, I don't like a certain thing. And everyone's like, well, that means you're not a true fan. You're a new fan. I'm like, we're not going to go through this whole thing.
But isn't that like all fandoms, right? Where people just
maybe
hers are probably more intense.
Because I just don't want to fight with like 15-year-olds on Twitter. Like, that's what it comes down to.
Right. Like, but that doesn't mean, I feel like we need to rebrand what it means to be a Swiftie. Like, it can just be someone who likes to consume her art.
Right. I'm like, I like your music. And then people are like, well, she's a fake feminist. I'm like, sure. Like, I also agree that
People also, I feel like that's so much projecting because it's her, everyone deciding what she is, but that's also what art is because we all take it in differently. And so she means different things to different people. And part of being so popular is like, is being able to achieve that.
Right. That's a very good point.
So she's very smart in being able to, you know, but I think she deserves some criticism, but, you know, I'm not sure about what because I don't know any of her ex-boyfriends. And all the ones in the UK, I don't know. I know, like, she dated Taylor Lautner a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know Joe Alwyn. I only know that he dated her. I don't know any movies he's ever been in.
Honestly, I Mandy, nothing. I wish that we could swap brains just for, like, a day.
It's amazing. But I do know too much about Bravo. Like, I know too much of the backstory. So, yeah. I feel like I try and over-explain what I think people are doing and why, and yeah. I really take them at face value. So particularly, okay. Let's go into Summer House with Lindsay and Carl. So I very much take when Carl says, I didn't realize my family was going to have this reaction on camera when he said that in the after show, I believe him. And when Lindsay says, like, I really felt like I was telling him that he needed to put his career first and he was not hearing me. Like, I believe her. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think these are two people that fundamentally were not meant to be together, that love each other and care about each other deeply, but were not compatible. And it's, I feel like everyone wants to take a side. And I think they're both to blame in different ways.
I agree with you to a point with that. I do think Carl wanted everyone else to say break up with Lindsay instead of him doing it. And I think he knew his parents would say something like that. And now he can also be like, look, even my family sees it and it's on camera. Like, I think he was putting the puzzle pieces where they needed to go so he could come out of this looking as, because Carl cares so much about what people think of him. And I think he was kind of setting this up. So it was the perfect breakup where when he did break up with her, everyone would be, or what he thought, everyone would be like, oh, we saw this play out. When to me, it looks more calculated.
Interesting. So I don't see it from that perspective, but tell me more. So what about him makes you think that he cares so much about what people think?
I mean, just everything about him, if I'm being honest. I think Carl's incredibly insecure with literally every single part of his life.
I agree.
And I think it's been like that since season two even, you know. Hang on. I just lost my train of thought.
Well, you said he's insecure about every part of his life. And it's
I forget where I was going with it. I'm so sorry.
But it's interesting to watch him. I feel like he's almost a completely different person sober, and he doesn't know who he is. And it's like he just cracked out of an egg or something. Like, he's a baby dinosaur and doesn't know, like, who
I guess,
he is,
sorry,
or what he is in a way.
Yeah, I remembered where I lost my train of thought.
It was baby dinosaur that brought you back. Okay.
Yeah, because I think Carl really thought being in a relationship would make sense for him. You know, I think he's been friends with Lindsay for 8 years and was like, listen, we're really good friends. I'm sure that this will work. And I think he wanted someone to help guide him. You know, Lindsay was the one getting them the brand deals. So I do get what she's talking about. And it's frustrating as a viewer, for me at least, to watch him be like, you know, I did bring in $70,000. And it's like, but how much of that did Lindsay figure out for you?
No, this is where I'm on her side. Like, she has a very valid point in saying, I want you to be contributing to our household, and mm-hmm. I don't want to have to all just be me. And that is a very valid feeling. And I think he doesn't want to have to answer to her about it.
Yeah.
And that is that's a problem. It would work if it was someone who was okay bringing in all the money, like how Sheena is, and she wants Brock just to be at home with their kid. You know, if that was the case, that would be very different. But it's very important for him to. But again, he's always been this way. And mm-hmm. she's kind of was assuming that, oh, now that he's got a clear head, he'll succeed in something in career wise. Whereas he's always viewed her as like, oh, she goes too far and is too mean to people, but she'll never do that to me. Right?
Right.
And so they're both thinking each other is going to change like very key parts of their personalities just because there was a ring involved.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to know your opinion on this, because right now I'm watching it and I'm like, you just don't want to be the dumper or the dumpy. You know what I mean? It's like you both want to break up, but nobody wants to be the one to break up.
Yeah. So my opinion on this is, the only reason I've been more like on kind of court of Carl's side is because of how she handled the breakup in the media.
Mm.
That was like a red flag for me. The fact that every single story and every podcast was all from her perspective and he was silent. And that I'm like, oh, she's trying to create a narrative. She's a PR guru. She knows how to do this. She's angry and she wants him to pay rather than like accept the very hard reality that he did her a favor, which it takes people a while to get there. But if you ever have a rough breakup and then later you're like, actually, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. Now she can find someone who meets her goals, right? And maybe she can watch back and realize some of the mistakes that she did make in this and hopefully fix them. But with him, he did everything that we wish Tom Sandoval did. We wanted True. Tom Sandoval to just break up with her, just be honest, no matter, you know, and it takes, most people don't just break up after an argument. It's a lot of thought and time, especially when you're engaged. So it's not shocking to me that it took him maybe 6 months of putting all the pieces together and finally realizing, okay, this isn't working. But my theory is that he never tried to break up. He just wanted to delay the wedding and fix it more.
Okay.
Because in the preview, he said, I didn't think this was how the conversation was going to go. But she was so obsessed with the timeline. We have to get married. We have to get pregnant. We have to do like X, Y, Z. Like we date for a year. We're engaged for a year. We're married for a year. We have a baby. Like, and that mattered so much to her. And anytime he pushed on that timeline, she would get really angry. And she's someone who, when she's angry, really is nasty. That's my take on it. Like the way she when she says, oh, he only can handle me when I'm happy, I don't think that's the case. I think her type of anger lashes out at everyone around her rather than just like is angry. But I don't know. She's just so nasty when she's angry. Like I get angry and it doesn't mean I'm going to, I don't know,
accuse someone of being on drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's hard because, you know, I think Lindsay has always been Lindsay, whether it's good or bad. So I guess there's that part of me that's like, Carl kind of knew who he was getting in bed with, literally, you know what I mean? And to me, Carl just has this like deep seated anger that you see a lot on the show when he like clenches his jaw and stiffens up. He won't say it, but it's in him. It's like his body language changes a lot. And he gets really like, well, what do you mean by that? And what do you like? Very like cutting and like, I don't know how to explain it.
You're explaining it well. Like, it's like it happens, quiet like, anger that you're saying is deadly and hurtful.
Exactly. And it's like, it's happened every season. If you go back and watch Lindsay be crazy, you can watch Carl be like angry. And I think a lot of people thought that that was because of his drinking, which I'm sure heightened it. But that anger is still so much there. I mean, even last summer, we watched him kind of like ignore Lindsay when she was like, can we go out? Can we go out? Can we go out? And he just wasn't talking, right? Like he gets that silent mode. He's the one who came back to the house, threw a shirt over the camera being like, we're fucking done. We're fucking done filming. We're never filming again, whatever, when he was all mad. So I do think Lindsay has a point where it's like, you don't see that side of him. And what we need is that footage from the lift.
Yeah.
Honestly. And I don't know if it's because I grew up with like alcoholism in my family, that Lindsay being like, you're drunk or on drugs, and him being like, no, I'm not. I can remember there's this quote that I learned at Al-Anon where it's like, the addict makes you feel like you're crazy. So I don't know if I can't be biased enough in this situation in general because it hits a little too close.
That's very fair. Al-Anon was actually brought up in the after show.
I watched.
And I think he wanted her, but I don't know how much he voiced it. I think his number one problem is not verbalizing how he's feeling. Mm-hmm. And he should be having these conversations with Lindsay, not only with, I think he should have them with his family and with friends, but also with her. Don't talk to everyone but her.
Right.
At the same time, I do think if you're going to enter a relationship with someone that has addiction issues, you need to also be responsible for learning about what that means. And he should tell her, but also she should also just want to go to Al-Anon and learn about what it's like to be in a relationship with someone who had a dependency on alcohol and drugs, you know, mm-hmm. just to be the best partner. And he should also go out of his way to do certain things to be the best partner to her. You know, like they both, mm-hmm. I think, were hoping that the other one would like play a key role in filling a hole that's right? like in them. Like for him, it was like someone to be his, like almost like a sober coach. And that's not really what a partner is, but they can play that role in certain situations. And I think Lindsay wanted a protector. She wanted, even though she's always like the type A, the like alpha, she calls the shots. She wants someone else to say, hey, I got this. You can relax.
I think Lindsay is so masculine as like a woman. She needs to find a man to match her masculinity. And she hasn't found that yet.
Everett was super masculine though, right?
But like...
No, I know what you're saying. Maybe more like a go-getter, like a New York type finance person.
Balloon Guy Joe was a New York fine man.
Okay, let's go into Balloon Guy Joe. Danielle.
Oh Danielle.
God. Oh, Danielle. Did you watch Winter House?
Yeah, I love Danielle, like, unapologetically.
Tell me more about this. Kelly, tell Listen, me more.
Danielle is what is missing from Summer House Martha's Vineyard. Like, the fact that when Danielle drinks, she does not give a fuck. Like, she is ready to fight anyone. She's ready to be mean to Amanda, who, like, doesn't deserve it at all. She's mean to Gabby, who doesn't deserve it. Like, in every show, you need an unhinged person. And right now, that's Danielle, because Lindsay's not doing her job of it. Danielle stepped up to the plate.
I would argue that on Martha's Vineyard, Shanice is unhinged.
See,
but she's not as much of an integral character.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, Bria, to me, gives, like, Sheena, but we need someone who plays, like, a Stassi or a Lindsay Hubbard in that Martha's Vineyard house.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Danielle. I don't know. I love how insane she is. I love that even she's, like, yelling at everyone, being like, that's not what I said. You're so wrong. I'm going to go get laid. But I also thought production was crazy for showing her, like, very naked.
You know what? They've done that before, but it's usually with men. So we've seen Kyle. Yes, it's usually with Kyle, and we see his bare ass. Mm-hmm. This was the first time I felt like we saw Danielle's bare ass. Maybe it looked weird not showing it, like the whole, like how she got in. But it also let us know just how forward she was being with him. Like the way that she told a story. I hope she's not embarrassed. She has an incredible body. She's a beautiful woman. I also hope she watches this and checks herself. Like, wow, I was being really nasty to a friend of mine who, like, had this boyfriend and I was with the boyfriend. Like, this is old wounds here. Why is she not realizing that?
The worst thing Bravo ever did was make Danielle more of a staple on those shows. But I love it. I love it. You know, she got a taste of that, like, because I think she started off being pretty okay.
Yeah.
Like at the start of Summer House. And then she became kind of a bigger moment and that like ruined her, but made her a great reality star.
I very much understood who she was when she was working in fintech And she was, especially that season that they were all quarantined in the house, and she would be working and couldn't play and would get mad at people for playing music during the day. You know, she was very intense with her job, and I understood, oh, she just wants to let loose and party. But now I know she's in this, she's a CEO and founder. But come on, it's not the same as grinding for a fintech company. It just doesn't feel like it is.
No, I liked her better when she played her Whitney Port role, where she was just kind of like, everyone kind of talked to her about Lindsay, or Lindsay talked, you know what I mean? Like, she stuck up for Lindsay. She was like a low Whitney hybrid is how I would put Danielle. But I don't know, something about her just being completely out of it. I also think Danielle may have like some sort of drinking issue because she's always drinking. I think there's a lot of deep-seated things with Danielle she probably hasn't even realized. And I'm guessing it's because of her breakup with Robert.
And maybe even just like going back to childhood or something. Why is she trying to always win the affection of a man and it be a competition? Mm-hmm. Because even on Winterhouse, she felt like she was competing with Jordan. And Jordan's like, I'm actually not interested in him that way. And she's still making it a competition.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. I felt very bad for Gabby, and I knew immediately as she was crying that it wasn't just about this. There was and she explained that on the after show. Everyone, please watch the after shows. It's the only way to understand what's happening.
Well, one of my favorite things about like this specific episode of Summer House is it's like pupils everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you guys on other than alcohol? Because like, watching Amanda and how she was bouncing around the house, I was like, this is not just drunk.
You know? Oh, really? I see. I'm so
in
naive.
My opinion.
I mean, it's likely. I mean, look at the first however many five seasons of Summer House. Carl was on stuff, you know, according to him. So
I don't know. I just think my favorite part of Summer House is when they're all dressed like completely insane, fighting. And Amanda's like, do you take me seriously? And she looks like a husky with two different color eyes.
Oh, my God. Yes, because one of the contacts must have come out, and I thought I was going nuts. I was like, why is one of her eyes blue? But, yeah, it must have come out. And she was like, well, I'm not going to abandon the whole costume.
Right.
So we'll keep one of the contacts in. Paige has been such a standout this season. Mm-hmm. She's really speaking her truth, and she's not only staying in bed. And I am so grateful. And she's found a way to bring the bed into an actual argument scene.
Which, incredible. You know, yeah. Paige, start of the season, I was a little hard on Paige, but she's a great talking head.
She's incredible. She's so funny. She's so good with her words in the moment. It's very hard to kind of tell someone, no, you're being a jerk. In the moment, it's a lot easier to let them be a jerk and then go tell your other friend, hey, Danielle was just awful. But to tell her in the moment, I mean, and I thought at that moment she was like, okay, we're not going to be friends.
I completely agree with you. And I really loved how she was like, she's not an employee. She's your friend.
Yeah. Danielle lacks empathy at certain times. She can be very empathetic at other times, but when she is drinking and partying, she's on a mission. It's very wild to watch.
Because I actually think sober Danielle is still pretty okay.
Yeah, it's not. It's always when she is drinking. Yeah, no, I think you're onto something. And I don't know if it's the drinking that's the problem or it's her need to escape. Like, if you get rid of that need to escape, then maybe your relationship with alcohol changes.
Totally.
So, final thoughts on West.
I'm worried West is going to let everyone down. Yeah. But I think him and Jesse are a great addition. I think Jesse's a lot of fun asking, like, just saying things everyone's thinking. I think he was a really good addition to the house. But yeah, West is like lovely. Him and Sierra are so sweet, but I really feel like he's gonna be like, Sierra's not gonna like that he's talking to other girls, or there's gonna be a big head that I think we can see coming.
At the same time, I feel like she then needs to tell him how she feels and say, I really like where this is going. Do you? Are there other people involved? Like, where do you see this heading? But she wants him to be the one to bring it up, but he's afraid to because she keeps telling him she likes taking things slow. So then to him, I think he's interpreting that as, okay, so we're not exclusive. Because that's what a lot of people interpret, like, oh, you're not ready to commit to me. But what she means is taking it slow in terms of like the physical stuff. And I'm so proud of her for being like, you all are crazy for having sex and then later talking about feelings. I want to talk about feelings and then have sex. That makes so much more sense.
Sierra's growth has been so great. And I love that she's like talking again. I think everything with Austin was definitely like, she didn't want to put herself out there again, but even learning that she like hikes every national park or even her relationship with her dad, she kind of opened up about. Yeah. I do think the future of Summer House is on Jesse, West, and Sierra.
Nice. I like that. And I think Paige is going to be there for a little while.
Yeah, I definitely, and I think Kyle is still like there, but I love Kyle Cook, don't get me wrong, but I also think it's okay for him to move on from Summer House.
I know. I love him too. I want him and Amanda to work out, but I feel like they both need to make some concessions, especially him. He's been so focused on building this business and he says he's doing it. He reminds me of my dad. Like, we're doing it for you. I'm working all these hours for you. It's like, well, I'd rather just spend time with you. And so don't say you're doing it for me because this isn't what I want. You know, the amount of, it's not as much of a startup anymore. You can buy it in Whole Foods.
Exactly.
So.
And I will say, I think Amanda, and this is probably also like another hang up with like the Lindsay and Carl stuff. I too thought Amanda was lazy because that's what I was told on the show. So it's like, it's hard when like, I know how women can be edited on television. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I know that Lindsay's a beast. I know that she could be a monster. I get it. But I also think Carl is that silent anger.
No, you make a lot of good points that I need to ponder. Okay. Let's briefly chat about Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. I didn't take notes on it, so I can't remember everything that happened. But would love to hear your thoughts in general on the dynamic between Jasmine and the other girls in the house this season.
Yeah, I think there's a podcaster, Liz Bentley. I think she put it perfectly that Jasmine is like what happens when people don't like your husband. It's like, it's not you, Jasmine. We don't have an issue with you. It's Silas. We don't like him. And I think the house is a lot more fun without him there. But like I said earlier, I think there needs to be the person who will commit to be the bad person, the bad one. Like, I will play up the villain role if I have to. And like, Bria is dramatic in the way Sheena is, where like they're the villain, but also the victim.
Yes.
And I think had they have kept like Monica or Phil on the show, they would have been our true villains.
Mariah, you mean?
Mariah. Yeah. Okay, who did I say?
You said Monica and I was like, oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I meant Mariah. I was thinking Salt Lake City. That was my bad. I'm so sorry.
No. I am really enjoying this season. I am seeing Alex in a very different light and Summer in a different light, both in a way that's like helpful to show more about who they are as people. Alex is definitely on his high horse.
Yes.
And people like to tell me I'm on a high horse because they think it's so frustrating. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm willing to, whatever. I don't think I know everything, but the way he is about, you know, his veganism and his not drinking and like he's always looking down at everyone because you haven't achieved this level of self-actualization, you know, and then yet he's like the biggest fuckboy of them all.
I completely agree with you. It's so frustrating when someone's like, I'm so zen, but you know that they're just the worst kind of asshole.
Right?
It's so frustrating. And something about him and Nick give me like the heebie-jeebies. Like they just make me uncomfortable and I wouldn't want to hang out with them. But then there's like Amir and Preston who I want to be like sandwiched in between. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Amir has really grown on me this season. I didn't like him so much last season, especially how he was talking about Jordan. I was just like, yeah. Ew. But I'm interested in meeting his girlfriend because that is going to change the dynamic.
He's going to be the villain.
Yes. Yes, I think he is. Summer is an interesting one because she seemed pretty zen, other than when she was like in a physical altercation with Bria last season, which I was like, where did that come from? But that appears to be a much bigger part of her personality than she let on. And so now totally. We're seeing her, you know, do things and act like it's no big deal, but they're hurtful to her friends. And I guess, what do you think of Jordan? Because now we've seen Jordan on Martha's Vineyard and we've seen her on Winter House. She is always so serious and seems to get upset with people, but then not vocalize it.
Yeah, I think she's probably the most aware that she's on television and really wants to like look, be presented well. She seems to be really nervous about that, but I like her. I think like her personality again needs someone to fight with more than just like a Summer or a Bria. Like, I think Jordan's alopecia storyline is so interesting and so heartbreaking. But I also think a lot of audience members maybe are having a hard time with it because the show overall is kind of slow and boring.
Yeah.
Not every episode.
It's different in that it's all filmed like day to day to day. Mm-hmm. Part of me wishes it was over a longer period and not just these 14 days because it allows more to develop. And but I do like that they hang out outside of the show. That makes things more interesting. I think most everything, like the most interesting things that happened off screen and then came back on screen.
Right, because they're actual real friends, which I really love.
I love that too. Even if they were cast, to be like, Amir didn't know anyone. Shanice knew people. I'm trying to think of like who lives.
Or I guess like the core girls. The girls all knew each other.
Yeah. So, oh, and the new girl, what's her name? Crap. She's so lovely.
I'm going to look it up really quick.
Thank you.
Noelle.
I really think she is just a star.
I don't know if Winter House is coming back, but I think she would be perfect for a Winter House.
She is. They said it's not coming back this year. But
probably for the best.
What's so frustrating about Winter House, though, is Summer House hasn't yet debuted when Winter House, like, we're not getting things in always the right order, or Winter House can be filming and then they immediately have to do a reunion from the previous summer. And yet things have transpired over Winter House, but they can't bring those things up. So you're like, I think there was a moment where Paige was just such a sourpuss at one of the reunions. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with her? And it's clear that stuff happened later, I realized, like on Winter House, and she was pissed and she didn't want to, you know, and those things couldn't get addressed until later. So they have to figure out how to speed up their timing. You know what I mean? If Trey Parker and Matt Stone can put out a South Park in like 3 days, come on.
I agree.
Let's get this moving. I guess going into Vanderpump Rules, what I feel like has been the downfall of part of the season is that we've kind of seen it all play out already.
Totally. And this is something we've said on Beyond the Blinds, but I really think that not breaking the fourth wall was detrimental to the show because I wish that Lala could just yell like, and I am not even a Lala fan, but I wish Lala could be like, I have to do this for our show. But obviously she can't because that's the conflict with Ariana.
Yeah. I'm wondering, though, they've been breaking the fourth wall right and left this season. And so I'm thinking that once the reunion comes, that's what's going to come out. It's interesting watching Lala out. I mean, I've been every week saying that I am so pissed that there's no gag order on these characters. I don't like that they can go on podcasts and talk. I don't like that they're doing these Amazon Lives and dropping stuff about what things are currently. Like, I want to watch the show and then I want to see the reaction to the show in the reunion, but I don't want all this other stuff.
For sure. I completely agree with you.
It makes it so difficult. It's you know, with Salt Lake City, none of us had any idea how that season was going to end, and none of us knew anything. And we went to BravoCon, and we knew there was drama, but we didn't know what it was. And then the fact that they all kept a lid on it is incredible. And I think notes need to be taken, because now, in order to watch the show and understand things, you have to also listen to all this other stuff. And most people don't have time for that, and also just watch the show for the show. And then they're missing like a whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree with you. And obviously, like, the jealousy is just seething over for a lot of them. And like, no matter how much editing comes from Bravo, I'm never going to feel bad for Tom Sandoval. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's yeah, stuff like that. But I am interested to see how like Allie and James play out. Because let me tell you, the second that like that dog was mean to my cats, I'd be like, sorry, didn't work out. Glad we gave it a try. But, you know, no, I think that's going to be really hard to get past.
Well, she said in the after show that during the summer, she had not yet bonded with Hippie. And she was very anxious about Hippie and the cats. And then since that time, Hippie has become like such an integral part of their family that there are times when Hippie and Mr. Banks can be in the same space and like are totally fine. Like they trust them to be in the same space, but not in the same bed.
Oh, okay.
And so I think it's changed a lot. I really appreciated how James was owning Hippie so seriously, because a lot of people mm-hmm. just don't take owning animals seriously. And to take an animal that's a trauma survivor, having gone from like home to home to home and to a shelter, and then all of a sudden back to a home, he's saying, I don't want during this first however many months as we're like reestablishing things to go away for 4 days. And that is a very valid thing to think. I get that Allie is more important and her friend's wedding is more important, but he's just saying, I don't want just anyone. I need there to be some sort of continuity, you know, in this dog's life, especially now, you know, during that time. After a while, you know, when I first got my dog, I did not travel. I did not leave her for 6 months.
Right.
You know, because you want to establish like patterns and yeah. Anyways.
No, I agree with you. And when they were talking to James about that, I almost wished one of the girls would be like, we'll take Hippie.
Right.
Like,
I don't know that they are able. Like, I don't know. You need to get someone that's like an animal specialist almost.
Oh, right. Because the Hippie has the, yeah.
And the behavioral stuff. Like, they're just, you need someone that knows how to enforce boundaries.
True.
Show love, not stress out the dog. And I, mm-hmm. You know, he said on the after show that he did end up going to that wedding and they did find someone that could watch him. And, you know, now things are much better in the household. And Allie is very attached now to Hippie. But she wasn't during the summer, very understandably.
See, this is what you just said. I just missed so much context because I didn't watch one like after show.
One after show. It's wild how much is on the after shows. It also came out that Sheena once hooked up with Jason Caperna, Janet's husband.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was in the after show.
You know what? I actually don't like the after shows and stuff because I feel like it doesn't. You know, as a watcher, you should be able to have your own opinions, and to immediately have your opinions and be like, no, you're wrong. It's like, shit. Like, then why did I just sit through this hour long show for you just to tell me that I'm wrong?
I love it because we're hearing directly from them about what they were thinking in the moment. And they haven't seen the episodes yet, I think, most of them. So that's been really interesting with Vanderpump. Even with Danielle on the after show for Summer House, she said, oh, I need to like watch that back. Meaning that she hadn't yet seen it.
Okay.
This is my take on it. I could be very wrong. And so it's sort of trying to get their memory without having seen it. What were you thinking in that moment? What did it mean to you? You know, and it provides additional context. But yes, it is tough because there's such a discrepancy between when filming happens and then when they're sitting in those chairs at the after show. There's such a like lag time.
I know. And it gives them like time to think before a reunion. I say as much fun as the after shows are, get rid of them because we just need their reactions at the reunion.
Right. And the reunions should just be longer. And yeah, I enjoy the reunions. Want to know what you think about Sheena and Brock and their issues with the nanny and her going on Zoloft for 4 weeks and then going off of it and having all these issues.
I mean, I think what Sheena's going through is very real.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of moms deal with postpartum and OCD and a lot of things that I'm not a mother, so I can't even imagine having to take care of a newborn or like a child in general. Yeah. I get anxious leaving my cats for 2 days. Like, I can't imagine leaving a whole child. And I don't know. I think Brock has no issue, as we've seen. Like, you know, I think he takes his dad role more serious now than he used to. But it's like, he's kind of already showed you how he is as a parent.
He does seem very different in this situation.
He does, but like there's still the part of him that really wants to go out and party and, you know, all that. And I could be totally wrong. I don't know. But I really do feel like Brock is probably pushing Sheena in a way that she shouldn't be pushed right now. I think he should be like more gentle.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in Brock's past, how he has been able to just kind of do what he wants, that maybe he's having a hard time letting that go and Sheena's having a hard time letting control go because of his past.
Yeah, and also just because of her OCD and where she's at.
Right, right.
When she said, I want to go home and put her to bed, like, he should have been like, yes, let's go. We've spent the entire day away from her. We've been filming for many hours. Let's go and be with her at bedtime. He right. should not have put up a fight. I think in general, he wants time away from her during the daughter during the day because he wants to start working and contributing in a certain way. And that makes sense. And it's very tough when you're the primary child care for your own child and you can't ever get a break, you know, and Sheena gets breaks all the time. And she goes and she makes money and she works and he doesn't get those same breaks. And so she does need to figure out, they need to figure out how to have other forms of childcare. It's also wild. Like, do they not go to preschool or daycare?
That was my other thought. But also, I can't imagine how much it costs.
Yeah,
to
LA.
Go to like LA daycare. And maybe, you know, if Brock isn't working, why not? Sheena's probably like, no, you just stay home. I did hear Lala say, I don't know if it was on the show, I don't know if it was somewhere on Twitter, that Sheena likes men to be financially responsible on her.
Oh.
Like, Lala said that about Sheena. And again, I think it was on a podcast clip that I heard on an Instagram recently. I can't cite the source, but it did come from Lala.
Lala has been running her mouth. The one thing I will say about Sheena is that it made me sad that she went on Zoloft and then got off after just 4 weeks, because I don't think you know if a drug is working for like at least 6 weeks. And she said she had side effects, but part of me wonders when she's like, oh, I was tired, maybe she was just calmer.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, because the anxious energy you get from anxiety, and I'm assuming also OCD, keeps you running. It's not healthy energy, but it's energy nonetheless. If you take away like that motor that she needs to kind of get through everything, and she's doing more than she should be in a day, right?
That's absolutely
very clear. And so then this is making her dial back maybe the medication, and she's like, no, I need to be able to do all these things, rather than actually I need to start looking at what is on my plate and taking things off. Also, there's so many other drugs. If that didn't work, why not? You know, but again, right. You don't want to like go from drug to drug to drug. Like, it's the worst time to be experimenting with drugs is when you're filming a show for like 3 or 4 months straight. So I feel for her in this. I hope she doesn't give up on, you know, medication as a potential helper in this situation.
Right.
Because she was just like, I went on for 4 weeks and I went off, and I'm like, okay, going off of it also has side effects. I'm like, no wonder you feel like shit. Oh my God. Poor woman.
Yeah. And I feel like, again, a lot of people don't take like the postpartum stuff into consideration or like as seriously as they fucking should.
Do you know that the number one cause of maternal mortality is in the United States is suicide?
Mm.
I think
it's
sad. And that's like a newer statistic, I think. So it's, you know, mental health is the leading killer of postpartum women at this.
And
at this
I 100% believe that.
Yeah, it's really. Yeah, it's really sad. And I hope that. Yeah, I hope. And I'm really glad that also in the Valley, Nia is able to shed some light on it and just talk about it and not make it seem like it's this weird thing that only happens to certain people. It happens to so many people and they're normalizing mm-hmm. it. And I appreciate it. Finally, can we talk about Sandoval and Sheena's argument?
That argument was so intense. You know, I think the worst part of me, I'm like, Sheena got them this show, so they should like shut the fuck up. That is like truly how I felt about that argument.
I love that take.
It's like Sheena, you know, whether you love her or hate her, she's the reason why this show kind of happened. Kiss Sheena's ring a little bit, Sandoval. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he was really nasty. I know he's pissed that she has made a lot of Sandoval about her. And I get it. I get mm-hmm. that. He's like, this didn't even happen to you. And you're reacting harsher than Ariana. But meanwhile, he's not even taking Ariana's feelings seriously. He's like, get over it. We were breaking up anyhow. Like, so he doesn't take anyone's feelings into consideration. And I think he's just annoyed that people are capitalizing on it and he's losing money while they're making money. I think that's why he's frustrated.
Yeah, because originally I thought Tom was going to lean into the villain role and be an actual like villain and be like, okay, you guys want me to be bad, I'm going to be bad. But he can't lean in because he's like, but I am good. I am a good guy. I just made this one mistake.
Yeah, he doesn't see himself the way the rest of us see him now. And it's fascinating.
He doesn't think he did anything wrong.
I know. It's wild. Or he thinks that it reminds me so much of when Jax used to be like, oh, so you're perfect? You're perfect. Yeah. Like, it's like, just because someone's criticizing your behavior doesn't mean that you can then go back at them and be like, you can't criticize me because you also make mistakes.
Exactly.
Then no one could criticize anyone. And that's what they want. They want to have no checks on their behavior.
I agree with you. And like, I get why Tom's mad, right? Like, like Lala bought a house because of this stuff, basically. And it's like, yeah, I wish I was getting money too. But I also just never truly apologized.
He doesn't get why he's a villain.
Exactly. He thinks he's a villain because he's like a guy who hooked up with this young girl and like blew up his life or whatever. It's like, no, it's you lived a double life on television for months and didn't have any, like, you did not feel bad about it. You would have continued it. Like, yeah. And he was the moral like high ground of the show. He was always like, Jax, be more like me. And that's the issue.
100%. I don't think, again, he is the level of villain that people are making him out to be, like the, you know, threats on employees at Schwartz and Sandy's lives, you know, saying mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff is so over the top. And he is right. He did not murder anyone. This is not that. But I think people are just so frustrated at his lack of accountability. Now, Rachel, have you been paying attention to her podcast and all the stuff that's been coming out? Do you have any thoughts on how she's navigating the post-Scandoval world?
I really haven't paid attention to anything with Rachel, to be honest.
So
I think
it's like me and Taylor Swift's dating history.
yeah. Like, I don't know. I think like with Rachel, I think the way Bravo fans acted to her was insane, and I have sympathy for her, honestly, in that aspect, because people are, you know, going to Tom Sandoval's shows and like fawning at him at the shows, but like if that was Raquel, they'd be trying to kill her. So I still have like a little bit of empathy for her, but no, I have not kept up with her at all.
Oh my God, she's wild. She basically puts out episodes sporadically throughout the week. There's not like one day that they come out, and she uses whatever's happening on the show and explains everything about from her point of view, but it's clear that she's very produced. And so rather than it being like the most authentic, it's just her, you know, being controlled by a different group of people, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think the worst thing she did was not come back to the show. I think even come back for a scene or two to try and get in front of the viewers. But I don't know. I think what happened to Rachel, I do think she was manipulated. I don't know if I think of her as an evil mastermind even to this day. But I think she also probably needs to take more accountability for everything.
She conveniently rewrites everything. And I think it's because something's wrong with her. I think maybe she doesn't understand or feel the same thing about friendships that other people feel. Maybe she felt more for Tom than she did for Ariana. And so then she's like, oh, we weren't really friends. It's like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. And there's the pageant element behind it. Yeah. I don't know if we need to dive into pageant life to like really get to know Rachel.
But Nia was in pageants, and she doesn't seem unhinged.
True.
So.
Nature versus nurture.
Well, let's head over to the Valley. So you mentioned before we started recording that you don't know anyone's name, which.
I know Jesse's name. That's about it.
Yeah. So basically, a couple things that I wanted to highlight. First is probably the only time I've ever related to Jax was in this episode when he's trying to use his phone and he's trying to call Jason and there is like an echo and he can't fit and he's assuming it's because Jason has an Android and like and then he doesn't know that you can call on WhatsApp or on Instagram. Like I was like, this is me to a T. I don't know how to use my phone. I don't know how to communicate well and I feel for him. Like it was so funny.
I totally agree. His comment about the Android users, like, I have probably said that.
Oh, me too. Those damn green bubbles. Yeah. I don't want any green bubbles. Why does he drive his golf cart around in LA?
Is that, like, allowed in the Valley? I've never really, like, been out there, so I don't know if it's, like, a small little neighborhood that's, like... I know in Nashville, like a few neighborhoods were kind of like gated off and blocked off. And it was okay to like ride little scooters around because it was all like rich people.
That's sort of, and like, this isn't a Florida retirement community. Like you are driving your wife to your business and there are larger cars on that street that could kill you. You know, it just doesn't seem very safe, but.
He's Jax Taylor. Nothing's going to happen to him.
You know what? Nothing will.
Which sucks.
That's the thing is like, he's one of those people. He's got 9 lives. He's got 4 noses. You know, he can snort whatever he wants and just get a new nose and doesn't seem to have the same problems that normal people have.
Crazy.
It's wild. It seems like Brittany hasn't been that involved in the Jax's bar. That was odd to me because I think they're going in 50-50.
I don't know if Jax even, I mean, the second Jax like got that bar, I told everyone I knew that he was going to cheat on Brittany. And I was like, he probably wanted to keep her away so he could get to know the waitresses and bartenders.
Interesting. Both, like pretty much everyone that is close to them maintains that he did not cheat.
Oh, okay.
Which I find very interesting. It's like she has access to everything on his phone. You know, he's like, I didn't cheat. I think he did other terrible things that
he just broke her down. He broke her down, made her feel like a bad woman.
Things that she wasn't attractive and he didn't want to have sex with her. I think that's part of it.
Insane.
Right? And she's like gorgeous, whatever. But yeah, he's a jerk.
And you know that he was probably like, what? I'm just saying how I feel. Like, right. Is that what you want out of a star is someone who tells you what's actually going on? Like,
are you perfect?
Yeah. He's like, at least I'm not Sandoval, right?
Right. He's right. That's exactly. Now he's like, oh, I'm the good guy.
Yeah.
This hair loss party was so funny, too. Just the fact that he doesn't have hair loss. Also, the fact that he was willing to take a can of spray paint and put it on his head.
He's Spencer Pratt. Spencer Pratt would also do that.
Spencer has some sort of endearing quality to me, though. And Jax doesn't.
I see them as the same person.
They could be. They could be. Let's talk about Jesse, the one guy whose name you know.
So what's really funny, I don't know if any other listeners are from Massachusetts. I was like, his anger feels familiar, which is very frightening.
Very Boston. And then
he's from Massachusetts. I looked it up. I'm like, oh, now I get why. Like, I've met him before.
You're right. He does have this like seething, annoyed anger under him at all times. Like, he can't be even the slightest bit inconvenienced, not by his own child, not by his wife, not by anyone.
No, Jesse is the most important thing in Jesse's world.
Do you think that him doing ayahuasca or taking mushrooms will contribute to some sort of ego death?
Well, let me tell you, when I dabbled with shrooms when I first moved to New York, it just heightened my anxiety. So like, everyone was having fun and I was like, I need to go home and like lay down and be like grounded. So we'll see what it does for him.
This idea that it can be used as medicine, that's only if you're seeing someone that actually does that work, right? Not just someone who says they do that work. Like, if you're going to do ketamine infusions, go to see a doctor that's actually publishing results of clinical trials around ketamine, because it doesn't work for everything and it doesn't work for everyone. But this idea, like an ayahuasca, I don't know. I know people like swear by it, but the idea of taking something that's going to make me violently vomit for days and then have some, like, I'm like, no.
I completely agree with you. I know people who've done it and really liked it.
Yeah.
But I also think you have to be like open to, you have to be open to it. And I don't think Jesse is.
It'd be interesting. I kind of want to watch his ayahuasca like journey. But it seems like it's just an excuse for him not to actually do real therapy, which
totally
he needs. Do you think Michelle has been cheating?
I mean, if my partner was on screen saying this is the longest one night stand of my life, I don't know what I would do. But yes, I think Michelle is cheating with either Michael Bay or Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, interesting. She has a new boyfriend now in real life who's not either of those people. But you think that she's like dabbling in the film industry?
Right when they started like talking about that, I was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah.
And Michael Bay is known to have a type that's like dark hair, right? Even I know this because he was super into Megan Fox in a
right.
weird way.
And Quentin Tarantino is just like a weird dude. I don't know how else to like explain him. But I could also see him like loving the attention from a beautiful brunette.
Very beautiful.
To be clear, who wouldn't? Like, right. She's gorgeous.
Gorgeous. I couldn't get over the scene in the hallway. So they have this dinner party from hell. And I don't, what do you think made everyone so irritable? Because they went to sit down and there was like every single one of them was very irritable. Like, even Nia's telling her husband, like, put your hand down, you look stupid. Like everyone felt like they were on edge.
I feel like it was just a powder keg waiting to explode. And yeah. They were all just waiting for the first person to kind of like light the fuse to make the whole room explode. And I think Danny was the one with his hand up, right?
Yeah.
I think that's why his wife was like, stop. We're not going to be the ones to start this. We're not going to be the ones to start the craziness. It was either going to be Jesse or Kristen, right? And I think Jesse feels like powerful with that group for some reason.
That hallway scene was so intense. You've got Michelle's nipple out while she's trying to defend her husband, whom she hates. You know, you've got Brittany and Zach out there trying to calm down Kristen, who is telling producers, I don't want to tell everyone Michelle's business because I'm a good person and I'm a good friend and I would
never
do that.
She's so empathetic. Remember, she's an empath.
Oh my God. It was just the most wild thing. And to see Jesse lunge across, I mean, just like manhandling Brittany, manhandling Zach, trying to get to Kristen. Luke is like at least trying to make Kristen not get in a physical altercation, which I appreciated.
This is the thing about Luke is like, I know people think he's off-putting or whatever I've seen on Twitter. Jesse's like, to me, Jesse's like money tough.
Yes.
Like he'll hit you because he can pay off whatever. Luke is from like the backwoods. Luke is someone you do not want to fuck with because like he doesn't care. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
He knows how to gut a fish. He knows how he like all he cares about is being outside and protecting his woman. So like you mess with either of those and it's going to be bad for you. Because again, he's not some polished businessman.
That is such a brilliant take. The idea that he has like, what do you call it? Money.
Power. Like, fuck you, money.
Fuck you, money. Yeah, he can get out of things and he acts that way.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Maybe that's what rubs ever like the wrong him. Me the
Whereas
wrong way
Luke is
him.
Just like, Luke's like, I'll fight you in the hallway. I don't care.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. What an absolute mess.
And I feel genuinely like I have been kind of hard on Brittany with like her time on Vanderpump, but the way that she was shoved and the way that nobody truly checked Jesse, and maybe that'll happen next week, but like, I know, like, if I saw a guy shove any of my friends, I would be right there. Would it be the smartest? Probably not. I'd probably get shoved too. But the fact Jax didn't try and be like, hey, you just hit my wife, like, and maybe
was
they didn't want to get
there?
So.
Because I think the hallway, not everyone could see what was happening in the hallway. The people that were inside, there's only a door frame.
Yeah, but I guess if I heard, like, people's voices that elevated, I just know me and I'd be out there.
I would not be out there. Would be, I'd be
if
like,
it was someone I loved out
me.
There.
Okay,
if it was
maybe,
someone.
Yes. Okay. If it was someone I love. But in general, I stay away from like. The
yeah. I guess like most of that. Who's the pregnant woman?
I forget. Janet.
She's a great villain.
She's
and
incredible.
No one can, people can get mad at her because she's pregnant.
Like, it's so good. It's so good. When she came up and she's like, congratulations on your hair loss. I died. I was like,
she is so snarky and funny. Like,
she's so good. All of her confessionals are incredible. When she said, when I'm invited to someone's house, the first thing I do is Zillow it.
That's like, me.
I've done it a couple times, especially if I'm going somewhere I've never been, because I'm just curious, like, what, where am I going? What is it? You know, what kind
I
of
I do it
is
more
is?
Than I care to admit. I can admit it.
That's so funny. It's definitely not a terrible quality. It's just getting information, right?
And usually I'm like, I just need to see the outside of the house so I know where I'm going. And then
that's
I'm like,
sort of what I, or I'd Google Earth it.
Yeah, I'm like, what if I see the inside of the house too?
I do it more if I'm invited to someone's place that I don't know that well. For friends, mm-hmm. I don't think I would do it. I've never done it for a friend. But if I'm invited to some party and I'm like, ooh, that looks fancy. I
yeah, know yeah, that's
you
true.
You know, that's what I'm interested in is like, oh, is this a multi-million dollar house? Like, you know, was it redone? Who else lived there? Like in
I'm
DC,
like, I don't, I
so
think
fun.
All my friends are yeah. in apartments. Like they're all in yeah. apartments. So I can't really, unless I want to go to like the apartment website.
That's so New York. Any kind of final thoughts on the Valley or any of the?
No, I mean, I'm shocked in the Valley that like I really thought Jax would be more prominent. And I understand the show's like around him. But Jesse, like, is such an evil person that he's just the star, unfortunately. And Kristen's always going to be Kristen. And that's what I love about her.
She is. I could not stop laughing at the amount of times that she threatened Michelle. Like, I protected you. I'm like, you are now telling everyone that she's been cheating on her husband just by saying that. You're saying, oh, I'm such a good person. I care about my friendship so much. I would never do it for a show. Right. And then it comes out as she's leaving. She's like, she's had a boyfriend for over a year. Like.
And then she gets in the elevator and you know when she got into the elevator, she was like, you know what? I'm such a good person for holding that in for as long as I did.
I know. That is exactly how her mind works. And I don't think she's like a bad person. I just think that she is not someone that you should ever share secrets with, because when her life changes, she's willing to out those secrets. Like when she was in a bad place in her last relationship, that's when her and Michelle bonded. Now she's in a good place with her new relationship and Michelle's still stuck in the bad place. And now from where she's sitting, she's like judging her a bit. Like, well, you could get out. I did. Meanwhile, the only reason she's out of that relationship is because he kicked her out. Like, of his physical apartment. But
Kristen doesn't see it that way. Kristen's like, my choice to leave.
She's like, it took us 7 months to break up. But she lost friends through the breakup because of how crazy the breakup was. Meanwhile, this is exactly how her and Carter broke up.
Right.
Every relationship that we've seen of hers ends in a 7 month long breakup of breaking up, getting back together, breaking up, getting back together. And then she's like, they're all toxic.
I mean, friendship or relationship, either ship. Like, it always takes her a bit to, like, really.
She can't
like,
quite let go.
And she'll just show up.
And it just takes everyone down around her. It's.
And then she's like, well, at least I'm still showing up and making an effort.
I really love Kristen. There's something about her that, like, she does believe that she is an incredible friend. You know, and I think part of her is she just has these faults that she cannot see. And I think we're all a bit like that.
She is my favorite kind of reality star. And I can't even like explain why, but like everything that she does, whether it's good or bad, I'm just like, hook Kristen.
I think my favorite kind of reality star is someone who is delusional, but whose delusion does not harm others. So it's like, if you think of Jessel on The Real Housewives of New York, right? Like, just so funny, but not actually harmful to the people around her.
Kind of like Luann almost.
Yes. Luann is perfect. Karen Huger. Mm-hmm. Like, people who just have this, like, inflated, although Karen Huger, with her DUI, that's a whole other story. But people have this, like, inflated sense of how important they are, but it's just funny. Right.
Right.
That I love. And the only person who's in these like younger type shows who seems to have that is Sheena.
I was going to say Lindsay Hubbard.
Lindsay.
Oh, she's not. Actually, she's hurtful. She's, never mind. I take that back.
Like mean to other people. Like Sheena hurts people, but not intentionally.
Yeah, because she's Troy always says she's the Gretchen Wieners, and that's like the best way to put
it. Yes, because I'm such a good friend.
And I didn't even tell anyone about that because I'm such a good friend. Yeah, that's 100% Sheena. And even Sheena, like, wanting to be close to the popular girl, but like low-key hating the popular girl.
Right? Yes. Sheena and her level of delusion, like, well, I had to put out this album and I'm getting a gold vinyl for Good as Gold. And like just her level of that kind of thing. But most in general, most of the younger people on these like shows don't have that kind of delusion. And
I would agree.
And I miss that a little bit.
Yeah, I wish when everyone wasn't so self-produced.
Yeah. I think the only ones who really aren't are like kind of Kristen and Sheena. Like Sheena cannot be anyone but Sheena. So at the end of the day, she can never keep whatever she's trying to make happen happen because she ultimately becomes herself. Like she can't be anyone else.
Yeah. And I think Ariana is almost that, but different. Like she's agreed. So herself on like a different, the opposite spectrum as Sheena. Right. Whereas, like, I don't think Ariana can really be produced. Maybe she was produced by Tom a little bit.
Yes.
But, like, now that she's on her own, I think Ariana and Katie are just, like, so themselves.
Katie is someone I've always said just, I feel like, found herself on a reality show. I don't think she ever started Vanderpump, and we would think that, like, 12 years later, she's still on the show out of all of them.
Right.
It's her that's still there. It's like, what? Because she just didn't seem to be chasing fame the way the others were chasing fame.
And I feel like she still isn't, really.
She's not. And I appreciate that about her. Sheena, even I watched episode one of season one, and you can tell Kristen wanted to be famous, said it. Tom Sandoval wanted to be famous, and Sheena wanted to be famous. Like, that was, those were the people who were the most, like hungry for fame.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know their names now.
That's right.
Kelly, tell everyone where they can find you, where they can listen to your podcast, and anything else you want to plug. I know you've got some live shows coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Instagram, it's Laguna_Biatch. I co-host Beyond the Blinds with Troy McKeady. We do three episodes a week. One is on Patreon, the other two are public. And yes, we have live shows on May 3rd. We will be in DC. And then the following week, we're doing Chicago, Minneapolis, Atlanta, Philly, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, and LA.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Okay, we're going to have to talk offline about Minneapolis.
Yes, definitely. But thank you so much for having me. I always love like talking Bravo with you because you actually, we don't agree on a lot of stuff.
No, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah, we can talk about it. And you do help me like see things differently. Like, and I wanted to like give you that credit too.
Oh, thank you. But you help me see things differently too. Like this like quiet anger of Carl is something that maybe I hadn't noticed and mm-hmm. is definitely there. And maybe it's, I don't know if it's anger. It might be resentment.
I think Carl has a lot of internal demons he needs to face.
You're probably right with it. Maybe he needs to do ayahuasca.
Maybe.
Kidding. We'll talk later.
Bye.